So much of what I want my life's work to be about is empowering and enfranchising people. We're incredibly confident in the data. We want to try to lead in transparency.
Well, now you're confusing me. Wasn't that going too far?
How was Elizabeth Holmes able to deceive so many people? What are some of the most important linguistic signs of deception that we all should be aware of? Looking at Holmes' statements and behavior in her interview with Fortune, these are the questions this video will answer. If you're excited about language and how language works, subscribe for more videos. Welcome to the channel.
As you know, Fortune went all in on the Theranos story. I mean, the notion that with a single pinprick you could get blood and do many dozens of blood tests at one time at a much lower cost was compelling. We even put you last year on our Business Person of the Year list. So it was kind of a shock to us to discover a few weeks ago that you're really only doing one test with that pinprick. Do you think the hype, did we both let the hype get ahead of the story if you're only doing one test?
Well, let me just start by saying, and I'll talk about that decision to transition our systems to the FDA framework, which led us right now, as of this moment, for the last few weeks only, to run just one test in a minute. But I think
this is a roundabout answer, an answer that gives the impression that the speaker will answer the specific question eventually. However, in most cases, roundabout answers are designed to make the audience forget the original question, so that the speaker can avoid answering directly. In the evasive build-up to her answer, Holmes is busy with self-protective language.
Right now, as of this moment, for the last few weeks only,
giving the false impression that everything's under control and that there's nothing fraudulent going on. Next, the self-protective language continues with an answer that definitely belongs in the Fortune 100 list in terms of evasion.
You know, part of this is we've looked at all of these articles over the course of the last couple weeks, and I'm an engineer, and we've tried to approach this the way we approach everything, which is understanding, you know, what was written, what's accurate, what's not accurate, and how did it happen. And so we went through these in detail, and we've seen that much of what has been written is not accurate. And so we've asked ourselves, what did we do to get into this kind of place in which we're reading this kind of stuff all over the national media? And
Holmes has now spent a full minute stating the obvious, that obviously they've looked at what they believe is accurate and inaccurate. Aside from stalling, this points to a rehearsed answer. Rehearsed answers are designed to minimize or disregard the questions, and thus have a strictly self-serving function. What's also self-serving is Holmes's pronoun shift. She uses the personal pronoun I, but then shifts to the collective personal pronoun we in the same sentence.
I'm an engineer, and we've tried to approach this the way we approach everything.
The pronoun I, Holmes emphasizes her alleged personal skills, being an engineer, which she is not. However, it's convenient for her to shift to we when she mentions the critical questions they've allegedly asked themselves.
What did we do to get into this kind of place?
She doesn't say, what did I do to get into this kind of place, but what did we do to get into this kind of place? This is shared responsibility. There are several self-repairs, interjections, and vowel lengthenings in Holmes's language, all indicating hesitation and stalling, which is typical of evasive answers.
Which is understanding.
So what did Holmes and her team conclude from all of this understanding? I'm sure the answer is as authentic as it's profound.
What we've concluded from that is that we need to do a better job of communicating, and we
do a better job of communicating, really. So when Holmes promised that there'd be more tests than one, that was a communication problem. Sure.
We want to be the best at that. I mean, as you can tell from this coverage, I'm definitely not a PR person.
And well,
so, you know, we need to get that out there. And part of that was that, you know, we have not put into the public domain much of our technology and operations historically.
Holmes can't have the interviewer cutting in, as that would disrupt her rehearsed answer and diversion tactic and form a focus shift. Another diversion tactic is Holmes's unreliable self-criticism. Deceptive people will often use modest or self-deprecating statements if such statements give them a way out of an uncomfortable situation, as if communication is even the issue here. But this kind of new agenda setting is common in interviews when politicians and other deceptive people don't like the questions they're asked.
And what if we have like a £100,000 bet that it is established beyond any doubt that she was born a woman? Do you accept that bet?
I just want to be very clear. If you are asking me after we have just seen these Trump trials,
do you accept
that you and
the
I
bet,
are going to place...
Candace.
Whoa, no. Stop cutting me off. So I'll do it to you this way. Pierce.
I'm definitely not a PR person.
She's not a PR person. She's literally built her entire company on persuading influential people with her unnatural voice and demeanor, and also using the right buzzwords and platitudes, which seems to be a requirement for success in the corporate world, no matter how disingenuous everyone knows they are.
There are models for doing well by doing good. And developing technology for those who are most in need.
And explain how you think that advances social solidarity and equality of opportunity.
Those new markets come from empowering individuals.
Don't worry about the future. We're in good hands. It's okay.
Well, the more we can create ecosystems in which individuals are empowered to raise our little girls with the stereotype that they can be the best in engineering and science and math.
Let's stick with the communications thing for a second, because I actually think you are an extraordinary communicator. And I want to show a clip we have from the TED talk that you did, I don't know, 9 months ago.
We've made it possible to run comprehensive laboratory tests from a tiny sample or a few drops of blood that could be taken from a finger. And we've made it possible to eliminate the tubes and tubes of blood that traditionally have to be drawn from an arm and replaced it with the nanotainer.
So I guess communication wasn't the problem after all. Because in this TED talk, Holmes literally promises tests, plural. That's clear communication.
In retrospect, when you look at where you are today, one test with the prick of blood, wasn't that going too far?
So we have developed hundreds of tests over the course of the last 12 years that can run a tiny sample using proprietary Theranos technology. And part of when I talk about communicating, what we need to do is we need to get that data out there. And I've talked publicly over the course of the last couple of weeks that we've made a decision now to take the data that we've generated for our FDA submissions and put it into the public domain, and we will. But since you're focused on the one test, let's talk about why we're doing that. I have...
Well, and by the way, it's not just me that was focused on the one test. That was sort of the story.
Since you're focused on the one test, let's talk about why we're doing that.
If Holmes really wanted to talk about this one test, she would have done so turn initially. Instead, she doesn't mention the test until after the self-protective claims about having the data. By the way, it's kind of unheard of that a company has the data, but just hasn't put them into the public domain. That's a business model I don't think many branding experts would recommend.
So let's talk
also,
about why
with this
we're
phrase,
doing that.
It's interesting to note how Holmes tries to make it look like she's in control of this conversation. It's interesting because it's obvious they should talk about it, because he's literally asking her about it. Anything to buy more time. The fact that Holmes once again postpones the answer, prioritizing her rehearsed answers over the interviewer's questions, exposes that her preceding utterances were attempts to avoid talking about the one test with her words.
Since you're focused on the one test,
she makes the interviewer sound obsessed with what she herself literally promised in her TED talk. This implicit criticism of the interviewer, however, unintentionally points to him being right, because people who know they have data to back their statements don't react like Holmes does. People who are annoyed about getting exposed, on the other hand, do.
Temporarily, as we transition, which has now been just a few weeks, we would not be using that tube to collect our samples, right? This has nothing to do with our tests.
Now you're confusing me. How many tests are you doing right now from a simple pinprick, as you described in that TED Talk?
Yeah, so right now, just because of this FDA transition, we're only doing one.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that we don't have the technology to do them or that we haven't done them in the past.
Let me guess, they just haven't put these extraordinary results out into the public domain yet, because Holmes isn't a PR person. Holmes phrases this in the negative.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that we don't have the technology to do them or that we haven't done them in the past.
She doesn't say that they actually have the technology. When people express themselves in the negative, they show that the opposite thought has been or is on their mind. In this case, that they actually don't have the technology or tests. Thus, answering in the negative can point to undisclosed information and guilty knowledge.
And are you confident that you will get the FDA approval to do the 200 that are a standard part of the draw?
That's a clear question. That's how we can be sure that Holmes isn't about to give a clear answer.
Well, there's multiple parts to this.
I'll take that as a no.
One is the validation of those tests under the lab framework. The other one is the FDA submission. And this is an area of evolving policy that we're working to create a leadership position in. We've never talked publicly about what the status of what we're doing with FDA is, because we just hadn't felt that was appropriate until we got into all of this recent press communications. But we're incredibly confident in the data that we've submitted to the agency. We've worked on it for 2 years.
And as we all know, when you work on something 2 years, what you say must be correct. This reminds me of someone else.
I think Brigitte Macron is a trans woman. It was three journalists in France that worked on the story for 3 years. 3 years.
Appeals to time can never be used as grounds for any claim. I mean, The Room took months to film, and still they ended up with this.
Just a chicken. Chip, 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 chip.
Holmes starts with a self-repair, indicating a problem source. The problem source being the interviewer's question.
Well, there's multiple parts to this.
She appeals to a company's ethos.
This is an area of evolving policy that we're working to create a leadership position in.
And with the participle, working, she suggests that working to create a leadership position is an ongoing process, not a completed one. This grants a leeway to blame evolving policy, to take the focus off of her empty promises.
What we're doing with FDA,
she says, using distancing and vague language. The question was specifically about getting the FDA approval, and all Holmes can say is that she's confident in that data. In theory, Leslie Headland could have been confident in the Acolyte too, but that doesn't mean that the show was a good idea.
Star Wars saved my life. I know that we... And if you don't like the Acolyte, that's fine. It doesn't matter. Like, Star Wars in and of itself, it is always, always, always about the spiritual journey of what it is to become who you are.
In the following, Holmes repeats the point about communication, and thus repeats the self-protective but unreliable self-criticism.
What are the most important lessons you've taken away from this?
I've learned the point about communication. Yeah, I think that we, as a technology company, I spent 10 years working with a team of engineers and scientists. We have a huge number of PhDs in our company to develop these hundreds of assays, and we never talked to the press once, right? I mean, we barely had a website.
Oh, but you talked.
Right. I mean, we barely had a website.
Yes, the lack of communication must be why she did a TED Talk and spoke to former presidents. Holmes' demeanor and the word right, asking, not stating, scream, have mercy on me, which is typical of people with guilty knowledge, and which thus undermine her alleged confidence in the data. Because both linguistically and extra-linguistically, she relies on the interviewer's pity, appealing to his understanding. Once again, when it's convenient, Holmes shifts pronoun so that she's not the only one to blame.
I've learned the point about communication, and we never talked to the press once, right? I mean, we barely had a website.
Oh, but you talked.
They barely had a website. Did they have a website or not? And next, Holmes' statements start to sound like a competition to sound as communicatively incompetent as possible, as she looks more and more deceptive. Funny how these two factors seem to go hand in hand. Probably a coincidence, right?
But you talked.
Not for 10 years. First time we ever were in the press, ever, in terms of communicating externally, was in the fall of 2013, when we began to launch our consumer retail infrastructure. And the reason that we did it then is because so much of what I want my life's work to be about is empowering and enfranchising people with the right and access to their own health information.
So 10 years prior to this interview, she didn't want to empower people. Is that it? I mean, despite this heartwarming story about what she wants her life's work to be, which doesn't sound inauthentic at all, that must be her argument, because these are the grounds that she chooses to substantiate her claim, which actually doesn't substantiate her claim at all.
So much of what I want my life's work to be about is empowering and enfranchising people.
Holmes starts using buzzwords when she's pressed, which goes to show how deceptive buzzwords are.
You know, I'm a businesswoman. Mm-hmm. I had a really clear job to do when I took over Bud Light. What does evolve and elevate mean? It means inclusivity. It's having a campaign that's truly inclusive, and representation is at sort of the heart of evolution.
Because use buzzwords to seem morally superior, because this kind of fake moral superiority is an effective way to disguise their incompetence and get people to follow suit, because who would want to contradict a moral person? In the following, notice Holmes' sneaky way of minimizing the interviewer's inconvenient question.
Our company is actually not just about a pinprick, it's about access, and it's about the ability for people to afford care and to get convenient care and to get early detection. And that means low prices, it means convenient locations, but what we've seen in this is that we never talked about the technology and operations on the back end, because we were so focused on our intellectual property. And what we want to do with this now is introduce that to the world.
And what a strangely convenient time it is to want to introduce that to the world. Funny how she didn't think about that before this interview.
Our company is actually not just about a pinprick.
The adverb actually is used to compare two different thoughts. Thus, her statement here is a refutation or even ridicule of the interviewer's focus on the pinprick compared to what she wants the focus to be in order to get off the hook. Cunningly, Holmes makes it sound like communication and being focused on their intellectual property, as she pompously formulates it, are mutually exclusive, all in the name of diversion.
Because we were so focused on our intellectual property, so that people can see what we've built.
One of the things you've seen in the last few weeks that a lot of medical experts have come out expressing skepticism about your technology, in part because they don't see peer-reviewed research, they don't have access to your data. Right. So you think in retrospect you should have been more transparent?
I think right now we want to try to lead in transparency.
That's not what she was asked. She doesn't give a yes-no answer to a yes-no question. It seems that Holmes only wants to be self-critical when she's in control of the agenda in the interview, which exposes the self-criticism for what it is, diversion, and not even remotely heartfelt.
I made a call that if we would be the first lab with the confidence to submit our test to FDA, that would be the way to get the data out. But there's no reason we can't do peer review, and there's no reason we can't publish other stats, and we're going to do that.
Holmes answers in the negative again.
But there's no reason we can't do peer review, and there's no reason we can't publish other stats.
As if she's actually looking for reasons not to do peer reviews and publish other stats. Answering in the negative suggests reluctance on the speaker's part. Hence, these negative formulations weaken her subsequent promise.
And we're going to do that.
Going to points to a process. Once again, pointing to a process is self-protective language, freeing her from having to present evidence right now, linguistically that is. Holmes is one of many modern examples of celebrities, business people, media personalities, and politicians who are applauded for all the wrong reasons. For example, their confidence or ability to fake it, and their income.
So tell me if I have these numbers right. Elizabeth has raised more than $400 million. Mm. The company is valued at, the company that she started at 19 is valued at $9 billion. You own over 50% of it, right? Congratulations on that.
People wrongly applaud celebrities, business people, media personalities, and politicians for their status and innate characteristics.
Elizabeth has on her board three ex-cabinet secretaries, two former senators, and retired military officers of a very high level. It's a fascinating board. You still don't have any women on the board, right? Okay.
I count
beyond you. Is that on your okay, that's on your list.
People are concerned with their idols, outer characteristics and superficial qualities, charisma, the right words, and physical characteristics, when what they should be concerned about is honesty, integrity, and actual talent. That's why very few people questioned Holmes. And that's how people like Holmes will continue to be applauded by people who claim that they won't fall for something like that again. When people start to idolize a person, all critical thinking goes out the window. People will continue to fall for words, phrases, and opinions that make them feel good, irrespective of what the truth is.
We have a question up here. The mic is coming.
You're clearly very passionate about changing the world through your new company, but I was wondering what keeps Elizabeth up at night if you sleep, and how do you go about tackling that?
With a question like that, it's no wonder that Holmes was able to deceive people. That's it for now. If you liked the video, click the like button and subscribe to support the channel. Until next time.